May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Simon Fitzgerald, Barclay Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seat for Sabbath services. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Senator Shalabel Neon Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's my privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of each Shalabel now entering the sanctuary. I now present one of the sons of Yisrael Abel, Nebiah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated, and may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Repent, for the Kingdom of Yahweh is at Hand. Yochanan the Immerser came preparing the way for the first coming of Yeshua. If you can turn to page 729 in your books of Yahweh, page 729, it's Matthew 3, verse 1 and 2. And it says, in those days, Yochanan the Immerser, preaching in the wilderness of Yada, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. Yeshua also came preaching repentance. If you can turn to Matthew 4, verse 17, it says, from that time Yeshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. So both Yeshua and Yochanan the Immerser taught repentance. Just like Yochanan Hawkins is doing, he's teaching repentance also. The world teaches, just accept Jesus and take me as I am, saying you can have salvation without works. This is not scriptural. This teaching is a Satan-inspired lie to deceive the world and keep them from repenting of their sins. Yeshua's disciples taught the same message as we see in Yochanan Mark 6, verse 12. It's on page 24. It's on page 766. Page 766. It's Yochanan Mark 6, verse 12. And it says, so they went out and preached that men should repent. If we will not repent, then we will perish. This is the same message taught by Yeshua Hawkins in the house of Yahweh today. In the 14th book of Israel, Part 1, the Never Again, says on page 214, and it says, repent, come to the house of Yahweh, keep your appointments, here's where you'll become converted to righteousness. It may take us 40 years. That's right. Some of these people have been here 40 years, but some of them grow faster when they're here. You could too. You could repent and could come, and we will study with you. We'll show you that book of Yahweh. We'll show you what that book of Yahweh actually says before it was ever ruined by the pens of man. Repentance is more than just saying you're sorry. You must also turn from your sin and be willing to keep Yahweh's laws. You can turn to Acts. Acts 3:19, it's on page 842. And it says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh. So he's saying there to repent and be converted. Sin is simply the breaking of Yahweh's laws. You can turn to 1 Yochanan. It's on page 965, 1 Yochanan, 3 verse 4, and it says, "Whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." And that word sin also means, that word transgression also means breaking. So sin is simply the breaking of Yahweh's laws. Israel Hawkins is telling the world, repent for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand, preparing the way for the second coming of Yeshua. Yahweh has a great job for us to do, telling the whole world of the kingdom of Yahweh, like it says in Matthew 24, verse 14, "And this joyous message of the kingdom of Yahweh shall be preached in all the world from the house of Yahweh at Abel by the witness Yisrael, for Yahweh will be with him. He will preach this message to all nations, and then the end will come. But he will only use those who will submit to his laws and repent of sin. We must continue to get all sin out of our lives, sin never again, and we will have an eternal job in Yahweh's kingdom." And with that, if you all please stand.
And now it's a privilege and honor to present to you son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Yisrael David.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Today I'm going to be talking about resisting the world and the temptations that come out of this world. To get right into it, for my first scripture, if you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And this is a scripture we all should know. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 15. It says that on page 173. It says, "See, I have set before you this day life, life by righteousness, and death by destruction." If you'll jump on down to verse 19, it says, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, because you are free agents to make your own choice." Notice that there, you have a choice between righteousness and evil. "Therefore choose life, so that you and your children may live." So we have to choose life. And notice here it tells us how we can choose life. Life by righteousness, which Deuteronomy 6:25 tells us is the keeping of Yahweh's laws. Also in Revelation 22 verse 14, it tells us that blessed are those who keep his laws, that way they'll have right to life. So life. Pastors told us many times that we need to get our joy out of the studies. The studies of the Holy Scriptures, the teachings that the house of Yahweh has brought out. That's where we need to get our joy from, because that's what brings life. So, praise Yahweh. Now, when we do this, it trains the Spirit holy in us. It builds that Spirit holy. It's that food for the Spirit. It also trains our subconscious mind. That way, when we receive our subconscious mind, we'll be able to recall all that information that we've studied and built upon. So, since this is so great, what makes it so hard for us to find this joy out of the studies and find this joy out of the Holy Scriptures? Well, if you'll turn over to Genesis, we can start to answer that. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 on page 2. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made." So notice that serpent here. We're talking about, you know, this beastly system, Satan's system, was more subtle and crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. "And she said to the woman, Has Yahweh indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" But notice she's more subtle and crafty. If you remember what Satan's plan is, her desire is to destroy all mankind, regardless of the cost. Because mankind, of course, is the ones that would be assigned to rule over her. So she wants to destroy mankind. That's her ultimate goal. And she distracts us from Yahweh's way, Yahweh's plan of bringing peace to the universe. She distracts us from that with these worldly influences, which is anything that she can use to get our minds away from Yahweh's plan. Now, a lot of times when we hear worldly influences, we think of just movies or just TV or just songs, music. But really, it goes a lot deeper than that. A worldly influence, a negative influence, is anything that does not come from the house of Yahweh we need to be guarding our minds against. Praise Yahweh. So if it doesn't come from Yahweh's house, it's a worldly influence, and we need to guard our minds from it. Now, no matter how righteous it may seem, or how desirable it may seem, or how innocent it might seem, remember, it's coming from Satan. It's not coming from Yahweh. And what is Satan's plan? Go back to that. She's trying to destroy mankind, and no matter how subtle, and she's very subtle in doing it. So it might seem righteous. Remember, it's a mixture of righteousness and evil. It's still a negative influence. So for this same reason, we should not be trying to imitate anything that comes from the world. Whether it be, you know, these movie stars or singers, rappers, or the police officers, this beastly governmental system. You know, they're not fighting for Yahweh. They're fighting. They're causing all the problems that we see in the world today. You know, if you watch the news, you see how many police officers are murdering people. You know, the army's going into the different countries, taking over the countries by force, causing death and murder and violence and disease even in some cases. Okay, these are the things that this beastly system is bringing forth. We should not in any way be trying to imitate these things or take glory in them. So a pastor often talks about how, you know, we're not here to gain riches in the house of Yahweh. You know, we're not here to get rich and get powerful. You know, and the glamour of this world at this time. The world today, they look at the celebrities and these famous people as role models because, you know, they have all the money. They have the power, so to speak. They have all this fame. But something that we need to remember, that way we don't get caught up in this mess, is that these are the same people that are promoting the same behavior that's causing STDs, that's causing war and violence. They're the same people that are promoting this. Now, let's look at it from a different angle, okay? In the house of Yahweh today, sometimes, you know, we get caught up in our work and in the day-to-day grinds that might come forth, and we forget to look at the big picture, the long-term goal of things. You know, really, if you want to be a celebrity, stay in the house of Yahweh, learn to be a teacher. Okay? Because, you know, why? Because eventually, all this mess in the world is going to mount up, and the people are going to realize that the house of Yahweh is the only true place that has salvation, and they're going to be coming to you for answers. So you're going to be the famous ones, and money and riches and fame is not going to be a problem at that time. Okay? Because we're going to have that. Maybe it's movies that we look at and, you know, fantasize about all this glamour and superheroes and things like that in the movies. Once again, look at the long term. What are we going to be? Pastor said we're going to be supermen and superwomen. You know, this spirit of Yahweh that we're feeding in our bodies is going to provide, you know, such great power that no superhero could ever dream of having. Okay, we're going to be going to planets and galaxies and traveling throughout the universe, saving these planets from their own destruction. So we're going to be superheroes, okay? And no movie that you can watch is going to be able to, you know, match that superpower and that those amazing things that we're going to be doing. Okay, so you're going to be superheroes. Okay, you're going to be celebrities, superheroes, or, you know, however you want to put it in your mind so that you see that end goal of being what we're looking for instead of this mess that's in the world today. So we need to look at what our job is going to be and just, you know, the authority that we'll have to teach the universe righteousness if we just take this job seriously. But that's what we have to do. We have to take it seriously. We have to be focusing on the studies, on the teaching the pastor's been bringing out. You know, so our future is going to dwarf anything that this world can try to paint up in this fantasy world that they try to distract you with. Now, the last time I spoke, I talked about the role of parents in the house of Yahweh. Okay, and how, you know, a parent should be raising, leading, and guiding their children in the way of Yahweh. Now, a message to all you children, you have a job too. Okay, if you'll be turning over to Ephesians chapter 6, we can learn about our job here. Okay, but we have a job. Satan makes this world look desirable, but we can still choose. Okay? Now, our parents' job is to lead and guide us in Yahweh. So what do us as children have to do? Do our part so that they don't do theirs with grief. You know, because we're still held accountable for our actions. And that's what Hebrews 13 verse 17 tells us. You know, we need to do our part. That way our teachers, our parents, can do theirs with joy. You know, remember, they were raised up in a world of sin as well. Okay, they might get frustrated at times, they might be stressed out. But we need to look at the intent behind the words that they're saying. They're trying to lead us and guide us in Yahweh's way. Okay? So Ephesians, praise Yahweh. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 1 and 2. It says, children, obey your parents in Yahweh. Now let's look at that scripture. What does it mean when it says in Yahweh? It means, you know, that if your parents are following the gods in the world, maybe you have family members out in the world, that's not who we need to be looking after. If our parents do something that's not according to Yahweh's laws, or if someone that's over us does something that's not according to Yahweh's laws, what did Pastor say we need to do? We need to go to a higher authority. We need to tell, you know, talk to the priests about it. We don't need to go condemning them and screaming and yelling and causing a fight in the house. You know, we need to simply take it to a higher authority. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Notice the blessings that come from obeying and honoring your parents. Okay? So they were raised in a world of sin. We need to respect our parents. Okay? We need to be respecting our parents and teachers. So in conclusion, remember, this world has nothing to offer that will bring life. Okay? It only brings death and destruction. Everything we need is brought and taught in the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You can get your joy from Yahweh's word, but you can't straddle the fence and try to, you know, still get joy from the worldly way and still get your joy from Yahweh. They contradict each other. You have to stick to Yahweh's word and kick all the negative influences, the worldly influences, out of your mind and out of your environment, okay? You know, so that those glamour, the riches and fame and anything that you might desire, all that will come in due time when we get this glorious position that Yahweh will offer us. And remember, we have our responsibility to Yahweh. He's given us those talents. Remember the song talks about talents? He's given us those talents. We have to make that investment worthwhile for Yahweh. Become those teachers that He can use to train the universe. Please, everybody, take this to heart and you know, make sure that you think of that in your everyday work, you know, your work week. Because that's what will actually get you to, you know, see that end goal and work towards it instead of getting hung up on all the problems that might come up. Smile. Keep a smile on your face. But if you'll all please stand, I'd like to turn it over for our next speaker, the great Kahan, Benjamin Yelia Hawkins.
Woo! Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Ugh. Got a lot of stuff to cover this morning again. You know, Yahweh just keeps pouring it on. As the world gets flooded with torrential rains, we get flooded with the words and the pictures and numbers and great spiritual food from Yahweh. Now, title of my sermon, kind of thought about it. I had a couple different titles, but I wanted to call it Put a Bonnet on It. It's kind of what I wanted to call it. Instead of putting a ring on it, we need to put a bonnet on it, and that way we won't have to get to that fornication that leads to the other things that the world sings about. But I'm going to call it Time No Longer Delayed. And the first thing I want to do is I want to call your attention to the 8th book of Israel. I'll give you a page number when I get there. It's the 8th book of Israel, chapter 14, verse 51. And I want to kind of go back in history about this word bonnet. I'm going to read 51. Pastor says, at the time when I was a child, nuns wore dresses and veils to where you couldn't see anything but a little bit of their face right there or right here. The other women in that town, like my mother, wore a bonnet. A lot of people did. A lot of women did. But it stuck out way out here. And you'd have to get right in front of her to see her face. And this was a modern thing. And many of the older movies, show this very thing. You know, of course, you can even see on the blue bonnet margarine, you know, the bonnet that the women used to wear. By the way, a lot of the bonnets now, they call them Scottish bonnets. And if you remember, this picture, y'all remember this wave picture, where actually all these numbers and everything kind of started, spawned off. Remember that? That was in Scotland and the Hebride Islands. Here's something else that's very interesting about the Scottish people. They had a disdain for pork. A disdain for pork. Go look at it. There's numerous articles about how to this day, they didn't even allow pigs they didn't even raise pigs except in one place. And they have a disdain for pork to this day in many of those places. In the Hebrides and other places in Scotland. But that's another sermon, another time. Let me read you another quote now. This one is from the 11th book of Israel. He Who Rules the End of the Ages, Part 2. I'll give you a page number. I had to mark these because they're so thankful for that Israel Hawkins Says program, aren't you? Very awesome. Now, this is from the 11th book, chapter 11, verse 88, page 107, speaking about the bonnets. Pastor says, everyone at that time, all the women wore dresses that came up to their necks, and many of them wore bonnets to town. If you don't know what a bonnet is, it's a wonderful piece of material that covers a woman's head. Or they wore a headscarf. I don't think I ever saw in Purcell or Lexington a woman that wasn't dressed in that manner when they came to town, except some women who came in from another large city, and they were dressed skimpy. And the women led them to a cafeteria. I mean, not a cafeteria, a drugstore, and sat down and had some ice cream with them and politely told them, we don't want you here in this town, and if you come back here, you'll be carried to jail, and we may do something like worse, like tar and feather you. Have you ever heard of that, girls? He says, and they furnished them a ride back to where they came from, hoping they would never come back. But I think they probably did invade the town later. Television invaded every home, not just the towns, but every home. So I guess first they sent in the forces of the clantily dressed women. That didn't work because they got thrown out. So they figured out, Satan figured out another way called the idiot box. You know, we'll send them through the idiot box and we'll get them into that town one way or another, right? Now, what's interesting about the word bonnet, and I'm not going to go really too deep into this, but when I got back to Laredo, it was the 28th, and I started looking into this, you know, the very first page, where the first time in the Holy Garments book where you see the word bonnet is on page 28. The very first scripture you'll find the word bonnet is Exodus 28. And it's from, he was given the definition of 4021 in Strong's Migbah, a cap, or as hemispherical, a bonnet, is what it's called in the King James. And we'll get into that a little bit here. But before we do, let me show you a picture. Now, before we go into the slide, I want to give you a little history. Now, Pentecost was just 5 days ago, right? 525. Today's 530, so it was 5 days ago. We had the great feast of Pentecost. Now, was that not the greatest feast ever? Man, if you weren't here, I feel sorry for you. And if you weren't here because you couldn't get here, well then, you know, we're praying for you and we hope that you get here very soon. We're all praying that all Yahweh's people are delivered wherever they may be. On 525, at exactly 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was standing over by the School of the Prophets, where a lot of these pictures are being seen right from the school. I saw a funny-looking, hazy-looking little cloud floating over the sanctuary. And anytime I see something, you know, that looks a little bit out of the ordinary like that, I'm quick to get that iPhone out of my pocket and take a picture. I didn't see what was in it until I got back and started looking at it, and then that's when it was seen. But I would like to show the first slide, please. Slide one. Okay. Everybody see that cloud? It's between the telephone pole and the wire there, where it looks like a triangle. Just kind of floating there, right? Can anybody see what it looks like yet? Well, what you're going to see is pastor on the left and a woman to his, a woman to his, would it be left? I think it left. Yeah, wearing something on her head. Now, what I did now is we darkened this for you a little bit. We shaded down the contrast. If you can show the next slide. Can everybody see that? Can you see it very clearly? Somebody said no. Okay, you can't see it clearly. Okay, show the next slide. Maybe that'll help them. Can you see it now? Can you see pastor and the woman with a bonnet on her head? Now, isn't that amazing that at the Feast of Pentecost, where these bonnets were worn by many of the women, and pastor was speaking about the bonnet right before the feast, lo and behold, Yahweh confirms the word of his servant again. You know, like he hasn't already been doing it all along, right? But it's like he continually shows past, he is in total control, complete control of this house and everything that takes place in this house. Now I'm going to read to you. Boy, I got something mixed up. Okay. I want to read another excerpt here, and this is from the first book of Israel. This one I printed out, chapter 36, verse 95. And it's speaking about ornaments. The word ornament. By the way, Yana means ornament of Yahweh. Ornament of Yahweh. I hope we hear more about Yana. I'm sure we will. Now, verse 4, he says, pastor says, but also let it be, he's quoting from a scripture, but also let it be of your inner self, be of the inner heart with the uncorruptible ornament of a meek, humble, and quiet spirit, which is of great value in the sight of Yahweh. Now, don't get in your mind that Yahweh likes Walmart brand. Just because he said it's great value doesn't mean that he's shopping at Walmart. That's supposed to be a joke. Okay, so, which is of great value in the sight of Yahweh. Remember, you're being judged by this. You can't turn back to the world and go back to these lustful, provocative clothing that the world is wearing. You have to be holy. You do not have to put on something that will make you stand out like a light bulb out there in the world. But there are things you can wear that will satisfy Yahweh, and this Holy Spirit, or Spirit Holy, that will not bring on everybody wanting to look at you. Okay? Now I'm going to read another excerpt here about an ornament, the word ornament. And this is from the sixth book of Israel. Chapter 40, verse 38. Let me plug this beautiful book, sixth book of Israel. And verse 38. Chapter 40, verse 38. Pastor says, okay, in 2 Timothy 2, we see here we are contending for crowns, for a crown. Now, this crown, of course, it means a literal crown because you're going to receive a crown. But it also represents a job, like the ornaments that was put on the high priest or the breastplate that the high priest wore before Yahweh. These things represented a certain office, but they represented certain offices of the future that Yahweh had already set in the plan. So, you know, these, like the mitre of the high priest, the bonnets, the migbah, the kippah, and all these things, you know, they have... They're symbolic of the glory and honor that Yahweh wants to give his house. And that Yahweh, in fact, right now is giving his house and confirming that this is the only work of Yahweh on the face of the earth. Do you agree with that, everyone? Now, of course, I got to bring a few definitions now because can we show the next slide, please? Now, this picture, there's the date. It was taken on 5/25, and it was exactly 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And Oh, you know what? Can you take the slide down for a moment? I'm jumping ahead of myself, okay? Let me just say one other thing about these ornaments. If you could all turn over to Isaiah chapter 61. You have to excuse me. Sometimes I get a little bit ahead of myself. So exciting, you know, the word of Yahweh. Okay, so Isaiah 61. And it says the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me. Now, this is a prophecy of Yahshua Messiah. Y'all remember Yahshua stood in the synagogue and he read this very scripture. Okay? And he said, after he read this very scripture, he closed the book and he said, this day, this is fulfilled in your hearing. But now, he only quoted the first two verses. He didn't quote verse 3. Now, I'm going to read them to you. He's, the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me. I'm actually reading from something else, but I'm going to go to the book of Yahweh so I don't get it wrong. But he says, the Spirit of Yahweh, my Father, is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach the glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison of those who are bound, to proclaim Yahweh's year of release and the day of judgment of our Father, to comfort all who mourn. Now, Yahshua read that part, but that's where he stopped. He did not read the third verse. We're going to read the third verse now, but we're going to read it. I'm going to show you what it says in the interlinear. This is the interlinear Bible for Isaiah 61:3, as in 6:13. And it says, to appoint unto them that mourn. That word unto them that mourn is Abel. To appoint Abel in Zion. Now, what does Zion mean? Well, he gave you a clue at the top there. Isaiah, this is the third. It says Isaiah 6. This is Isaiah 61:3 that I'm quoting from, right? 6:1-3, those who keep the 613 laws, right? I appoint in Zion those who keep the 613 laws to give to them for beauty. Now, that word beauty there, let me get into that real quick. This is what he's appointing to Abel. It means fancy headdress, beauty, bonnet, goodly ornament, tire. Now, don't go getting no Goodyear or Michelin tires and wrapping it around your neck or anything. You know, it's not what it's talking about. That's just an old English word for, you know, something you put on your head. And it's from, this word 6287 is from 6286. And it means, among other things, embellish, to boast, to explain clearly, which the house of Yahweh is doing, is it not? Are they not revealing secrets in these last days? Okay, let me ask you a question. If you went to any church today or you went to a Catholic service, would you get any of this? Do they even know what the word prophecy means? And of course not, because only appointed to one man in these last days. You know, if they're not spoken of, run from them. It says to make clear. It means to shake a tree, which Yahweh's going to shake the heavens, and he's going to allow it to be shaken. To beautify, boast, self, go over the bows, glorify. I want you to keep your word on that, or eye on that word glorify. Okay? Now, do you remember, let me read the rest of this now. In Isaiah 61:3. To appoint to those at Abel who keep the 613 laws, to give them beauty, or, you know, those garments, those bonnets, those kippahs, those headdresses for beauty, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy. Are we not learning to rejoice in the house of Yahweh? For mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he might be glorified. Remember, Yahweh's the one that's going to be glorified through who? Yisroel Hawkins. Who was the one that taught us about the bonnet? The only thing I knew about a bonnet was margarine. You didn't know anything about a bonnet. Come on. We didn't know anything. We didn't know jack till we came to the house of Yahweh, if we just admit it. You know, if we just too proud to admit it, you know, that's one thing. Okay, now, can we go to the next slide so I can show when this picture was taken and get some definitions here for you? Okay, so it was picked image number 2674. Now, this is going to interest you. This is from Strong's, 2674. It's the word chotzer. Some of you trumpet blowers might know this word. And now it says castle there. And it says from 2691, so we're going to go to 2691, and it means court, enclosure, and it's the word chatzer again, court, enclosure, and it's from 2690. So finally, we get to 2690. Remember, you need to trace these down all the way, okay, because Yahweh shows you clues on every one of them. Here's the word again. It means to sound a trumpet. To sound a trumpet. Y'all write that down. I need to see everyone's pen writing right now. I see some pens that aren't moving. Most of them are, but some of them aren't. You won't get it written down by osmosis, I guarantee. And that's word number 2690, to sound a trumpet. That's going to be very important as we go along here. Keep it in your mind. That's the Hebrew. That's Hebrew 2674. So then I went to the Greek. Remember, to sound a trumpet. Now I went to 2674 in the Greek. And it's from 2596 and 705. And it means to reckon among, to number with. And it's got a relation to 2596 and Greek 705. So let's look at those. This is 2596, and the pertinent ones are measure and beyond, like beyond measure. Okay, keep that in your mind. And it's from 705. Here's 705, arithmio, as in arithmetic. And it means to enumerate or count, to number. And it's from 706. By the way, here's where it's used. Revelation 7:9, a number which no man could number. Remember, of all nations that we're going to be calling out in this time period that we are in right now. Okay? Because the trumpet is being sounded right now. And it's from 142. Now look here. Here's the two definitions of 706 from 1706 means a fixed and definite number, as in the time we have left right now. It also means an indefinite number or multitude, you know, as in Revelation 7:9, a number which no man could number, which we know is going to be around 2 billion, right? And it's from 142. Here's Strong's 142, and it means to lift up, to take up or away, to raise the voice. Remember, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people their sins so they can turn to who? To the Pope? He doesn't even know what sin is. He says there is no sin. There's no law. There's no sin without the law. So to him, there is no sin. But he is the man of sin. Okay, he is the man of sin, and he's the one that's teaching the world to sin. It also means to raise up, elevate, lift up, to raise from the ground, take up, to raise upwards, elevate, lift up, to draw up. Keep those words in your mind. Now, that was just the image number I showed you. That was the image number of the picture. Now, it was taken on 525. Now, what's so amazing about this is how it all ties back to 525. Remember, Pentecost was on 525, right? Okay, so here's word number 525 in Strong's, and it's from 529 or 539, and it means in the sense of training, skilled, an architect, one brought up. Now remember, it's from 539, so let's go there. Here we go. From 539, and it means to build up or support. It means to be firm, faithful, to trust or believe, to be permanent or quiet. Remember the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit you just read about. Morally, to be true or certain. Morally. Is Pastor not morally certain? Is he not sure? Is the peaceful solution not the perfect gift that came from Yahweh? Is it not? Well, you can clap for Yahweh, you know. I mean, every righteous gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It means to go to the right hand, assurance, believe, bring up, establish, be faithful, of long continuance, yes, steadfast, sure, surely, trusty, all these things. To support, confirm, be faithful. Remember, Yahweh confirms the word of his servant, Isaiah 44, 26. Be faithful, uphold, nourish, as the woman nourishing the child. Remember, pastor's mother. To be established, be faithful, to be carried. Those are just some of the meanings. And it's from 542, which just means, again, in the sense of training, an expert. Is not pastor an expert? In fact, people in the world have called us experts in moral character. They even recognize that we are experts, and not boasting of ourselves, but Yahweh is training us for this position. Now, this is Greek number Strong's, Greek. This is Greek 525. Remember, it was 525 when this took place. And it's from 576, and it means to change away, to change away. And it's from 236, it's from 575 and 236. That 236 you need to keep in your mind. It means to change away, to release, to deliver. Yes, the earth will be released. Okay, now it's from 575. Which means cessation, that means stopping point, completion, we talked about that on Pentecost, and reversal. Did we not talk about all those things at Pentecost? You got to go back and listen to these sermons and remember what was brought at that time about they're going to proceed no further at a certain point. And Pastor showed us, Yahweh showed us through these words where that stopping point was. And it's from 243, and it means, it's 230, here's 236, it's from 243, and it means to make different, to change, to change, to change. To change, to transform, transform. Keep these words in your mind. I know there's a lot of words here. And 243 just means other or another, okay? Now, the time the picture was taken, which I thought was amazing, it was right at 3 o'clock. I mean, at 3 o'clock. So I looked up 300 in Strong's. Word number 300. Oh, and by the way, did you notice when we were going through, or have, actually you're going to see it here. This is the time that it was taken. And watch how it goes back to 525. There's word number 300. And it's from 526. It's of Hebrew origin. So even though this is a Greek definition, it makes you go back to the Hebrew. Because there's no origin in the Greek. So what it does is it tells you to go to 526 in the Hebrew. And it means a man, it means a builder. So we go to 526. And 526 is from 525. Now, isn't that amazing? The time even goes back to 525, which was Pentecost. Okay? And it means a skilled workman or master workman. And it's from the same as 525. And I've already given you all the definitions of 525. But just to remind you, it means in the sense of training, skilled, one brought up. And it's from 539. And remember, I just read all these things about morally to be true, to be permanent, quiet, trust, believe, faithful. All these things that describe this great work and our great pastor in these last days. It's just amazing how all those things tied right in with what's taking place. Now, if you could, I want you right now to please turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. Keep the word change in mind. 1 Corinthians 15, I'll give you a page number. It's found on let me look at my time. Okay, it's found on page, 899. We're going to read verse 51 first. It says, the first resurrection at the last trumpet. Behold, I show you a secret truth. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Changed. That change, it gives you a side note, gives you some scriptures to look at there, and side note B. But you know that word changed is the exact word that I just read you in word number 236. Which came from, which word was that? I believe it was from 525. See if I can trace it down. Here it is. Trace it down for you. Here it is. Right here. To make different, to change. Okay, let's go back to the... Okay, behold, I show you a secret truth. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. And remember, that word is 236 in the Greek, and it's from 525. That in a moment, if you notice, in a moment, has a comma after it, okay? Because a moment and the twinkling of an eye are not the same thing. Keep that in your mind. But that word moment actually means, a time that cannot be cut. A time that cannot be cut anymore. Everyone understand? A time that can't be cut anymore. Let's go to Revelation chapter 10 now with this in our mind. Keep all those definitions in your mind about the trumpet and the time period that we're in right now. By the way, let me give you a recap. In the 21-year plan, there's 242 moons. Add 7 moons to that after October 14th, 2014, and you get 5/12/2015, May 12th, okay? When you divide that by 7, because everything's done in increments of 7, you get 37. Okay? 37. So 249 divided by 7 is 37. That's why on 5/12, Yahweh showed you on the 37th Omar, there was a certain definite time there that Yahweh was trying to show us, that we were at a certain point. And I read you the quotes. I can't go back and do all this again right now because there's so many other things to cover. But, you know, Yahweh showed us, Pastor told us over 30 times in the books of Israel. I lost count at 30. There could be more. But he said the time would be cut short 7 moons at the beginning, not at the end. He thought it was going to be cut short at the end. And Yahweh showed him, no, it would be 7 moons from the beginning of that last 3.5 years, or that last time cut. That last time, that divided time, remember? Okay, now, let me read Revelation 10 here. It says, when the seventh trumpet sounds. By the way, who's the seventh trumpet, everyone? Yes, Yisroel Hawkins. You got to believe that with 100% surety, and not you need to remain rooted, grounded in the faith here in this house. You've got to get this in your head. You have got to firmly believe this. In fact, I have an open invitation to anybody that doesn't understand anything about these numbers or these definitions. Get with me. I'll be glad to sit down with you at any time and go over this so you can get this in your head. Go read the Timeline magazine from 2004. You know, these things are so crystal clear if you just will study. You got to study. If you don't study, you ain't going to remain in the house. You're going to run. Because I'm telling you, they're practicing war games all over the world right now. Russia, China, Canada, U.S. with Jade Helm. They're getting ready, okay? Are we getting ready? Because we better not have any fear in us. And the women are told, you are daughters of Sarah as long as you don't give way to fear. Fear. Remember Jeremiah 23, Psalm 23. They're not going to fear anymore. They're not going to be dismayed. That word dismayed, look it up, man. It is so deep. Pastor, you know, he's going to explain these things to us. Now, let me get on here with my reading. I saw another mighty Moloch come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head, and his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices, or the seven thunders are the seven eras of the house of Yahweh, shown to us on the menorah here. Verse 4, and when the seven thunders had seven thunders, hold on, let me slow down. Okay, I'm Daffy Ducking my book of Yahweh up here. Okay, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. Verse 5, and the Moloch which I saw standing on the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven and vowed by Yahweh who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it and the earth and the things that are in it and the sea. Remember the word sea, you know, peoples, nations, multitudes, languages, Revelation 17, verse 15, I believe. Who created the heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things which are in it, that there should be time no longer. Time no longer. Now, what does that mean? Well, Pastor explained that to us a long time ago. He meant time is no longer going to be delayed. Y'all get this? Time is not going to be delayed any longer. We are at the end of the delay. They're going to go full force with the wars. You're going to see, as Yahshua explained and the prophets all spoke of, the greatest time of trouble which has ever come upon mankind and ever will be. Now, think back of the things that you've read about or you've seen, like World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War, Korean War, Revolutionary War. Think of all these petty wars that they've had. I'm calling them petty because these are nothing compared to what's fixing to take place. Now, think of all the dead bodies. Think of 5 billion or so dead bodies. Think of the famine. Think of the disease epidemics. There's already flooding going on everywhere. I'm going to show you here in a minute how amazing that actually is. Right here in Texas. He says, time will be delayed or not delayed any longer. It's not going to be held back. 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, the beautiful seventh Moloch, Yisroel Hawkins, our great father, our earthly spiritual father, who taught all of us everything that we know right now. We would not know anything without Yisroel Hawkins. Not one thing would we know. We didn't even know how to count to 3. We didn't know how to count to three. We didn't even know how to keep the Sabbath. We didn't know anything. We sat around our house on Sabbath day when I was keeping Sabbath, sitting around doing nothing with my feet up, thinking I was keeping the Sabbath. You know, because I was resting. Resting from all my work. Yeah, we didn't know nothing about that. We didn't know anything, and we're still learning about the Sabbath. Verse 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven, verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, when he will begin to sound, I just showed you the trumpet, the definition there meant to sound a trumpet. And lo and behold, it was on Pentecost when this was explained, when that began. Now, yes, Yishuel Hawkins has been preaching for over 40 years now in the wilderness, but now the message of the kingdom is going out to the whole world at this time. Okay? And you know what? In this time period, Revelation says, we're going to be bringing them into where? The nations, multitudes, just think Catholic. Just put the word Catholic there. Because that's what the whole world is right now. They're all Catholic, you know? Revelation 13 says it's a two-headed beast, or two horns, remember? Catholic and Protestant. A Protestant is no more than a protesting Catholic. That's all they are. And they're everywhere. Okay? So don't deceive yourself. Okay? If they're not in the house of Yahweh, they worship Satan. And until they come here, like the great deacon that spoke before me, you can't trust anything out there. I'm sorry. It's a mixture of righteousness and evil. And if you put your faith and confidence in anything but Yahweh right now, I'm afraid you're going to be lost. You're going to run like that little sheep was running out of the house instead of running into the house. We should be running into the house of Yahweh, not away from it. He says, in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, when he will begin to sound, the great secret of Yahweh would be finished, complete, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, I want to show you something interesting. I didn't show it to you on Pentecost. I wanted to wait for the second witness. No, not those kind of witnesses, but we already know who the second witness is. We know who the two witnesses are, do we not? Let's all say their names together. Yaakov and Israel. Isaiah 44. You know, you can't go wrong if you just read the scriptures. It tells you where they are. It tells you every single detail you need to know about the two witnesses. And if you can't, of course, none of us can learn these things on our own. We need to go and study the material from the house of Yahweh. And we will have a clear understanding. It's explained so clearly that even our young children in the house of Yahweh understand these things. They're giving, look at them, they're up here speaking about it. They're prophesying to the nations. In fulfillment of Yael 2, chapter 2, verse 32 or somewhere around there, right? Now, on May 12th, I want to show you, there was an event that took place. And now you remember, this is the Nepal earthquake. The second one, not the first one on April 25th. This was the second one on May 12th. And if you look at every, there's maybe only one other source that says 7.4. It was not 7.4. It was 7.3. And that was a sign. All that day, by the way, when I got back to Laredo that first day after the feast of, Passover. No, on May 12th. On May 12th, I went to pay my car insurance. It was $37. That was my first clue. It was, and I had a big 37 on the front of it, like big, bold 37. I think I had texted it to a couple people, the great Gahan sitting in front of me, and so, because all that day, that's all I was seeing. So I went to CNN to see what was going on in the news, and it said 37 minutes ago, this story came out. And now remember what we talked about 37 and 73 being interchangeable and about reversing? It was 7.3 magnitude. Was that a coincidence? Oh no. That's earthquakes. But then the floods came to Texas. At Pentecost, here's what took place. Here's the headline. It's from, and it was on, actually it was on CNN all day. I showed a few of the brothers. This is from KFDI FM 101.3. It says, 37 Texas counties declared disaster areas after storms tear through Texas. 37. May 25th, there's a date. Y'all see that? Earthquakes, floods. What are you being protected from? Remember, the world is going to go through this. And you ain't seen nothing yet. Y'all understand that? You ain't seen nothing yet. Now, let me show you the next slide. Can you show the next slide, please? When the bonnet disappeared and the cloud dissipated, guess what number came up? 37. Again, Yahweh confirming everything that's been brought to you. Now, if you're having a hard time understanding the numbers, I know there's a lot of numbers, there's a lot of definitions involved. I understand that, and Yahweh understands that, Pastor understands it. You know, and that's why we try to reiterate all the time to try to help recall this to our remembrance. But I'm going to remind you again, if you go to Yahweh.com, anybody can do this, if you have a computer, go to Yahweh.com. At the top right, you'll see AV downloads, audio video downloads. If you click on there, you can go back and watch all the sermons where all these numbers are given, the wave sermon, where it all started with the numbers, the wave. There's been so many things since then. I don't even remember. You know, I have to go back and study my own stuff. I don't even remember. I got to constantly keep this stuff in my head. So I understand you're having, it's difficult, okay? But don't make that a problem. Make it your endeavor to understand. You know, study. That's what we should be doing. Studying to show ourselves approved. I think that's 1 Timothy 2:15, which is 5:12 backwards, right? Study to show yourself approved. Get on with it. Let's go, man. We're getting ready. We are in that time period. Time is not going to be delayed any longer. And I better not delay the next speaker any longer. But he's a man of peace. I don't have to worry about getting kicked off the stage. But anyway, at this time, if everybody would all please stand, it's been a great honor to speak to you. I'd like to turn it over now to one of Yahweh's great priests, the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, carrying on in the news today, just like the great Kohan spoke of, floods and tornadoes all across from Oklahoma down to South Texas, and now we have something that you really don't see much of. You have floods, and you still have droughts. The droughts where you have the massive flooding, of course, they're reporting it has ended the drought. But when you take a look at what's taking place with the rain, you're still in drought. For example, with the rain we've had here in Abilene, Fort Phantom is only up 3%. And OH Ivy, which is a huge water source for us, is only up 0.5%. So 0.5% with all of the rain that's coming. And you look, and we've had rain amounts as far as 11 inches. It's going to show the drastic rainfall in Houston and Wimberley, which is around Austin, and also up in Oklahoma around Purcell, a lot of flooding. But that's with 11 inches. And they're saying that California, for them to come out of drought, will need 75 inches of rain. Needless to say, California will have to exist to actually come out of drought. They've went that far. Scientists are hoping for, of course, this El Nino to fix the problem, but it's not going to. They're always hoping, searching for peace, but finding none. Then also anthrax being shipped out by the United States government military base. It's called an accident when they do it. Now, if we would have done it, it would have been a terrorist attack. But they shipped it out, and it actually got as far as South Korea. So keep that in mind. Vatican Bank, it reports that the bank itself, now keep in mind, the Vatican has many, many businesses. The bank itself reported that it made $76.1 million net profit. That's after everything is paid. That's their net profit, and that's one business. To give you an idea how much money the Vatican Church has or is making, Keep in mind, since 2004, they've paid out $2.5 million in scandals for child abuse. That's $250 million a year, and they're still recording profits. That is a lot of money going through that place. Also, ISIS took control of a city of Iraq, and of course, it's a major gas and highway revenue to get into Syria, so the war is getting larger. It's not dying down. We kind of get numb to turning on the TVs and the news, and we see another bomb drop here, another bomb drop there. But NATO and Russia is kind of bringing it to the point to where you can see there's a flexing of muscle, and they're ready to wage war, and it's a push and shove right now. And you can only, as Vladimir Putin said, you can only push a bear so much, but you won't be able to control that bear. So make sure, pay close attention to what's being said about the wars and also this drought that is still taking place. If we could go ahead and play the news. If everybody will please stand, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Khan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Oh, is the feast still going? Beautiful. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It looks like nuclear war pretty soon. They're certainly trying to coax everyone into it. You can see trouble everywhere now, pretty much all over the globe. The House of Yahweh is pretty much all over the globe too. Praise Yahweh. I'd like you to make a note to yourself and try to enroll. I know we have a lot more people here that hasn't enrolled in the Peaceful Solution Character Education classes to become a teacher. We won't embarrass you. We'll help you to do so if you'll just fill out the paperwork and get it to us, and we'll strive to make arrangements for everyone to come. It may not be that we'll split the classes up if necessary, if that's what's holding you back. Held at the same time makes it really easy. It only lasts an hour, so you know that's very little time out of your day. But you could learn a lot in an hour. That is, you'll remember a lot of little remarks that will help you in. And it'll remain with you. It'll stay in your subconscious mind. And, of course, this will help you in the future in actually knowing the Holy Scriptures, which is that's the whole idea. And it gives you something to gossip about, something to talk with your friends and in the house of Yahweh, the family of the house of Yahweh. And one more thing, it's only 3 months to the Feast of Tabernacles, and we got a lot of work to do, so you need to put that on your schedule. Don't wait till the last 3 days to start getting it done. It'll sneak up on you if you do. The news articles this week, I put out two news articles, and both of them were grabbed and run with. These news medias, I found out they're divided into like business news, family news, family interest news, and then different types. But the family news in the local stations, this article, Yisrael Hawkins praises religious leader for confessing Yahweh is the name of the Creator. That's really climbing. It was up to 46, praise Yahweh. That was up to 46,000 early this morning. I haven't got a later count on it, but it's going fast. And the program, the location. There's some of these news medias that I've never heard of, too, that they had for me this time. Our workers picked it up. Was Journey Parroting, Journey Parroting. That's all one word. .com, Red Orbit, a news release. It's in Tyler, Texas, and quite a large audience, 506,000 people. Sweeten Cider, news release, location. Well, it doesn't give the location on that one, so it's got to be internet only. The one that's reached more than anyone is one news page. View release, and it's up to 121,000 people, just that one news article. The other, by the way, we're on the streets of New York again today with 16 million, 16 million viewers already. Israel Hawkins praises Pat Robertson for confessing Yahweh is the name of the Creator. I think that's going to get a lot of attention, that one. This one, I don't know if you've heard about it. I don't know if any of it's true or not, but Texas governor deploys state guard to stave off Barack Obama's takeover. There's quite a lengthy article and a lot on that. You might let us know if you see something else that is fitting. Now, the most of it, I think, is I don't know. It's a little far fetched, anyway. The House of Yahweh, of course. President Obama is pushing for peace, and we can see that in his newsletters. But he had a breakfast meeting, and he talked about the Crusades. And these Crusades, he doesn't know what you know, what we brought out, and what it's easy to find in Israel Says program. He doesn't realize where the Crusades started and what is actually causing them. But in his remarks, and I want to read you just a little bit of this to bring you up, and don't forget where we left off now and what we were speaking of in these last days when Babylon is going to fall. And of course, as the apostle said, she'll proceed no longer because we are taking it down step by step. The people are already falling away from the Christian churches. They're leaving them. And of course, the last 2 billion people that are left alive, and nuclear war is coming, the last 2 billion people that are left alive, they're going to be kept alive, and of course, by Yahweh, and they will be brought here to the house of Yahweh. But he says, now, over the last few years, Barack Obama's speech, we've seen a number of challenges, certainly over the last 6 years, but part of what I want to touch on today is the degree to which we've seen professions of faith, that is religions, and this is the way the scripture speaks of it too, and I'm surprised that he used the word that way, but this word faith in the scriptures means the whole religious system, including Yahweh's the tree of righteousness versus the tree of righteousness and evil, or the evil that was actually added to Yahweh's way. But professions of faith used both as an instrument of right, he says, but also twisted and misused in the name of evil. As we speak around the world, we see faith inspiring people to lift up one another, to feed the hungry, to care for the poor, and comfort the afflicted, and make peace where there is no strife, he said. And he sees that. But, he says, we also see faith being twisted and distorted, used as a wedge, or worse, sometimes used as a weapon. From a school in Pakistan to the streets of Paris, which pretty much covers it all, we have seen violence, terror perpetrated by those who profess to stand up for faith, their faith, profess to stand up for Islam, but in fact are betraying it. We also see ISIL and a brutal, vicious death cult that in the name of religion carries out unspeakable acts of barbarism, terrorizing religious minorities like the Yazidis, subjecting women to rape and weapons of war, and claiming the mantle of religious authority for such actions. Of course, if you read the history of these crusades, and they burnt many of them to death, they hung some on their crosses or on stakes, which is a miserable way of dying, and it lasts for hours and hours and hours. At the same time, these same people condemn the kosher killing of animals as something horrible. Of course, they condemn everything that is righteous, if you notice, but they will stand up and say, oh, this was a good thing, and that's what it was. It was a God thing, an evil God thing that they were doing to people who would keep the Sabbath day on a menorah, be caught cooking food in advance of the seventh day of the week. any of these things, they would arrest you. They would send their police out to arrest these people. They couldn't testify on their own behalf. They could tell the court who their enemies were, and they'd coax them into that, saying, if we know who your enemies are, we can deduct them from this list. Well, if they know who their enemies are, then they also know that they can trust their enemies to testify against them. So it was just a hoax. Everything was a big lie. And, of course, they were always found guilty. Once they were arrested, there was no release, only with a signed document of repentance and the worship of the Pope, and of course the worship that of the past popes who had died, and the worship of all the dead, and then they would watch them. They'd have their enemies watching them, and if they got arrested again, they'd either be killed, put in prison, or put in a slave camp to work. We see ISIL, a brutal, a vicious death cult in the name of a religion. Well, Christianity, and this is what Barack Obama says, Christianity was worse than anything we have seen so far from these people, and is killing their enemies. Kosher killing, as I said, once the artery is cut to the brain stops. There is no more pain, and that's proven. And of course, we Over the years, that was the way that Yahweh showed to kill an animal, and that's the way that the group that the last group that was in Israel that took over the hill called Masada, I believe, and hibernated there and thought they were going to be safe from Christianity. Well, they weren't safe. The Roman army made a way to get to them, and of course they slaughtered many. But the ones that was up there, they used kosher killing for their people, committed suicide. The last ones, that's according to the history that they wrote, the enemies wrote. So we don't know half of it is true or false. We see sectarian war in Syria and murder of Muslims and Christians in Nigeria, religious war in Central African Republic, a rising tide of anti-Semitism and state crimes in Europe, so often perpetrated in the name of religion. humanity has been gripping with these questions throughout human history. And lest we get on our high horse, he says, and think this is unique in some other places, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisitions, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ, he says. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow, speaking, of course, of Jim Crow in the United States, and his brutal attacks on black people. You know, I think his breeding came down to Clyde, Texas, and a few other organizations here in Texas. I don't know how they could call this righteous, but they do. Christianity calls the man righteousness, and the acts he did, the terrible acts that he did, righteous. All too often were justified in the name of Christ. Michelle and I returned from India, an incredible, beautiful country full of magnificent diversity, but a place where in past years religious faiths of all types have, on occasion, been targeted by other peoples of faith simply due to their heritage and their beliefs. Well, if you remember now, I've covered that. I want to go a little deeper into it today. But when they chose a king instead of Yahweh, Samuel told them what was going to take place. Had they have chosen to follow Yahweh, Yahweh would have fought any battles for them. And he proved that. He proved that when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. That should have been enough to have taught them at that time. But in 1 Samuel even, they didn't have to lift a hand, and their enemies were defeated. Now, you need to believe that, because if you don't trust in Yahweh, like, you know, I'm telling you, you've got to, you won't make it through this great ordeal that's taking place in this last period, where, you know, the very elect, you know, if it were possible, they would bring deception to the very elect. And you know who that is. And of course, if you don't put your stock in Yahweh and be willing to go the full nine yards and be willing to trust in Yahweh, if you run, you're going to lose your life. And not only that, your eternal life. But Second Timothy, if you remember now, he talks about the last days and this time period. Chapter 49 of Genesis shows the last days and what it's and where it came from, what it's going to be like. Remember that Yada, that's the tribe of Yada. And now she inherited the scepter, and Yahweh said she's going to hold it. He's not going to take it away from her, no matter how evil Yada is or becomes, which she's proven to be. Malachi Martin spoke of her in the keys of this blood and said and showed that the Catholic Church was the Aaronic priesthood that now holds the position of lawgiver. It's been taken away from her from the enemies that she made, of course, and back and forth comes the wars and the fightings, the takeovers, and the strong nations that become weak from inside, and that's the way the Catholic Church did too. It became weak from inside, and then they brought plagues upon themselves that killed thousands and thousands of them. But remember that Genesis 49, 1 through 10, shows the lawgiver. Now, if you want to look at that right quickly, Genesis 49. Verse 10 shows you the scepter here, and he shows you Yada in verse 9, the lion's club, and like a lion, crouching, lying down, like a lion's breed, who dares to arouse her? That's what they said when Pearl Harbor was bombed. They said, I think we've woke up a lion. Well, the scepter, he says, will not depart from Yada, nor ruling staff, that is, a ruling staff, will not depart from Yada, that's the lawgiver, from between his feet until he comes, speaking of Yahshua now, to whom tribute belongs, and obedience of the nations will be his. But he hasn't taken that over. He's only judge of the house of Yahweh at this time. He's not praying for the world. He's not praying for anyone. He's not even fighting the case, the cause of anyone, except the house of Yahweh at this time. Now, in Samuel, 1 Samuel, we see the tribes that Yahweh brought out of Egypt, and we see how they turn from Yahweh to in a leadership of one family. Now, history says that this family, the Korites, that sprang from Korah, they were pretty strong persuaders in their actions, and they had a lot of followers behind them. But the Korah, the Levite, he was actually a Levite now. Who conspired with Dathan and Abiram against Moshe. Korah was the son of Izhar, the brother of Amram, the father of Moshe. Did you get that? Korah was in the bloodline with Moshe. In fact, he is a cousin, made him a cousin to these leaders, the Moshe and Aaron. That's in Exodus 6:21 and also Numbers 16:1-49, if you want to study the history of it. But anyway, he's the one that conspired. He said, "Are we not all holy?" Well, these are also the ones that was carrying the Coptic religion and built the golden calf and so forth. Now, that's Moshe's cousins built these things in the camp when Moshe was in the house of Yahweh studying, trying to get the lessons ready for these people. And, of course, this took place secretly and over a period of years. Remember, he led them in the wilderness there for 40 years. It wasn't like he went up there and 30 minutes later they're building a calf, you know. This was done under conspiracy, and then finally they showed an open hand to Moshe, and Moshe fell on his face, and that's when Yahweh, the death angel that he had already assigned to do this now, took the lives. In fact, the ground opened the ground. The microorganisms in the earth opened the earth and swallowed up him and a few of his team. Not many. That 250, the few thousand that it swallowed up was 250, I think it said. And then the plague killed several more. But the next morning, the reason the plague came and killed others, which wasn't like the next morning either. The next time period when it was brought about because they were practicing evil. Now, let me get this in your mind. They didn't turn to righteousness when Korah and 250 of his popular men in Israel were wiped out. Those were leaders, 250 leaders that he had following him. He had a lot more than that, but they were too scared to show up. And of course, when the ground opened up and swallowed them, then they accused Moshe. The whole camp of Israel then accused Moshe of killing Yahweh's people. So their sins continued in following the golden calf, the bull, the great power, the Baal god worship that seems like a joyful, the desirable thing, as Satan told Eve. That's what they kept practicing. And finally, they brought a plague into the camp. And of course, to bring that plague I brought out, you've got to have death mixed with unclean food, mixed with STDs. There's no other way that I know of. I've studied this up and down, and this is the way it's brought about. And you get a mixture of a mean plague, like the Catholic Church suffered, that brought her down and opened up the way for the King James Version, authorized version, to be got out to Oklahoma, where I got a copy of it, and my parents got a copy of it to work with. But this plague they brought upon themselves. Yahweh didn't bring it. They brought it on themselves. Now that one killed thousands and thousands of the Israelites there. And of course, that showed who Yahweh had chosen versus who the gods had chosen. So this taught the rest of Israel, or should have taught the rest of Israel, that Yahweh was, in fact, in complete control. And what he said was going to take place took place. And of course, his plan was from the beginning, from these 12 dishonorable tribes, God worshipers, his plan was to bring forth holy seed, if you remember. That's what the prophet said, to bring forth the holy seed that he would appoint, which was Yahshua, of course. Now, that plague, that's in verses 41 through 50 of chapter 17. The descendants of Korah afterwards, though, became very popular. They took over the Levitical priesthood, and Yahweh allowed this to take place. And as we read in Yada, they call it Jude in Revelations, Yada, the 11, chapter 1, verse 11, the world has gone the way of Cain, and if you... and of course, Korah. Korah is also mentioned there. He says, "Woe to them, for they are." This is those who speak evil of those things which they do not understand. He said, that's in verse 10. Then verse 11 says, "Woe to them, for For they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the era of Balaam for reward. Did you see the reward that they seek after? I forgot, it's a huge number. So this was what they showed that they actually cleared, but that don't show the billions of dollars that they took in and spent, but they showed 76 million or something like that as a profit. Well, of course, that was not a drop in the bucket to what the Catholic Church brings in from the nations, and they want it all. But run greedily for reward. This is, now get this, because this is the same thing that we see in taking place in the seven hills of Rome today, and have perished in the rebellion, that is, judged worthy of perishing in the rebellion of Korah. So he's listed there with Cain, the way the world goes. Now, in this their fallen tents, that took place in 1430, if you want to write that down, where the tents was, that's in Exodus 6:21, then Numbers 16:49, and then that was 1440 BCE. 1440 BCE, and then the plague then took place. That's Numbers 17, and that took place. Some years later. I better get the facts on that before I give you the numbers. My ink smeared. The Crusades that President Barack Obama now was speaking of here, being done in the name of this religion. Now this started, and this is what I want you to understand. Let's go back to Genesis 4, because this is where it started. This is where we're told, in no uncertain terms, the cause of hatred and killing. Genesis 4. That word in chapter 3. He says, and on one of Yahweh's Sabbaths, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to Yahweh. That fruit of the ground, meaning earth, but other things. Fruit of the ground means many other things besides fruit of the ground. And to understand this, you've got to go to the foundation stone. This is going to be a kind of lengthy, so I can't go into that today. But the foundation stone laid in book 2 to understand what he's talking about here. It wasn't talking about going out here and raising a crop or some vegetables and bringing some fruit to Yahweh. It's talking about people. It's actually talking about people. I'll cover one more scripture. I see I'm out of time, but I'll cover one more scripture. Let's go to Yochanan 3:12, and this is where we'll take up the next time I speak. But you've got to understand what he said to Cain and what he says to his house in these last days, because we're the only one that understands what he's talking about here. And the world don't understand it. They can't understand it. It's sealed to them. The only ones that they can understand are the ones that come to Yahweh's house and get information. But here now in Yochanan 3 and verse 12, he says, if I have told you earthly things, well, see, he brought this offering from the earth. Said, so was he talking about how to raise a garden here? No. If I've told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Well, this was also taking place in the days of Cain, and the history there that Yahweh wrote for us today, for us to understand. And there's a great lesson behind this, and of course it tells you when salvation would be. The main salvation of the Holy Scriptures is the house of Yahweh today with Yahshua as high priest over the house of Yahweh, opposing Babylon, who's still bringing forth the same thing that Cain brought, Korah brought, and the whole world has gone to today. This is what we see in the world. We see fighting and wars. We see sickness and disease. We see drought. When we get a rain, it's hail and high water. People can't believe what they're getting now. It's the worst in history. I forgot how many counties, but it's a large number of counties that was declared a national disaster. And of course, the reason for this is the firmament that sin destroys. And it's getting the same plagues get into human bodies in a certain mixture of these sins, the results of the sins, in the microorganisms, and they mutate together, and they are in the heavens now, and the same thing that gets into the body that causes a plague is in the heavens right now causing a plague. Well, ordinarily they'd die off and get dispersed, but that's not the case now. We're pouring into this bucket of water like the cities are pouring more sewer water into the drinking water. We're pouring this same thing, this same mixture, into the firmament. And the firmament is trying to do its job. They're trying to send rain in due season, but they can't manage their job properly like they were designed to do and commanded to do. But they're still trying to follow Yahweh's orders and bring rain and the amount of rain that we need so crops can grow and the land can grow and be fruitful and multiply. The trees can't bring forth healthy fruit anymore. We're told that from the county extension agents, from the universities that give the county extension agent his information. The land can't produce properly in any place, they say, anymore. There's no way of bringing forth healthy fruit. This is the normal, so try to substitute for it. And they say billions of dollars is spent now trying to substitute for what is lacking in the meals that you buy from the supermarket. Well, the whole world is screwed up, as Yahweh said it would be, and Yahshua said it's going to be the worst ever in Matthew 24. Until next week, may Yahweh bless your understanding. I love you!